Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 44. It's June 30th, 2020. The French economist, statesman, and economic journalist, Frédéric Bastiat, would have turned 218 years old today. Unfortunately, he died of tuberculosis in 1850 at the age of 49. Unfortunately, he died young of a disease that afflicts far fewer people now, but he left an enduring intellectual legacy reflected in organizations and fellowships that bear his name, and perhaps most notably in the one lesson at the root of Henry Hazlitt's classic, Economics in One Lesson. A few years ago, Matthew Iglesias asked, "What's the big deal about Bastiat?" because so much of what he writes is stuff that a lot of commentators and analysts already knew. Brian Kaplan replied that Bastiat's contribution comes from exploding economic fallacies and highlighting their absurdity. These fallacies, after all, are at the root of popular support of all kinds of terrible ideas. To be sure, there are sophisticated arguments to be made for price ceilings, price floors, tariffs, and all sorts of other interventions. Politicians, pundits, and people on the street rarely make those arguments, however, instead support these policies enthusiastically on the grounds that they are free lunches. For evidence, look no further than this 2012 article by a Florida congressman making a, quote, conservative case for sugar tariffs, and my reply, which draws on Bastiat to highlight the ways in which the argument doesn't work. In honor of his birthday, I'd like to invite you to explore what are, in my humble estimation, his most important works. What is seen and what is not seen. If you've ever heard anyone invoke something called the broken window fallacy, this is where it started. If you've ever heard anyone say that war is good for the economy or that a natural disaster is to be welcomed because it will stimulate gross domestic product, this essay explains why that's wrong. The lesson is simple, and again, it's at the root of Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson. The kid who breaks Jacques Bonhomme's window isn't stimulating the economy because Jacques could have used the money he spent replacing the window on literally anything else. The window smasher hasn't made the world any richer. He's made it poorer to the tune of one window. Bastiat then applies the argument to a host of other examples and explains how things like subsidies for the arts, trade restrictions, and prodigality don't actually make societies richer, while things like disbanding the army, middlemen, machines, and thrift don't make societies poorer. The petition of the manufacturers of candles. In a brilliant and brief bit of satire, Bastiat destroys protectionist arguments by reducing them to their absurd essence. He offers a petition from the candle makers asking the French government to protect them from competition from the sun. After all, what part of national labor, he asks, wouldn't be encouraged by a booming trade in candles? The state. What is the state? I like Douglas North's definition of a state as an organization with a comparative advantage in violence, extending over a geographic area with boundaries determined by its power to tax. Bastiat goes a step further and lays bare the essence of the state as it would later be analyzed by scholars working in the public choice tradition like Mancur Olson and James M. Buchanan. The state is, quoting Bastiat, "the state is the great fiction by which everyone endeavors to live at the expense of everyone else." With candidates for the Democratic nomination for president trying to outdo one another and promising better lives at the expense of everyone else, it's an essay worth reading and taking to heart. The law. Notice the difference between Bastiat's definition of the state and his definition of the law as, quote, "the collective organization of the individual right of legitimate defense." It is because individuals have rights, Bastiat argues, that people can organize for the collective defense of these rights, and importantly, it is because individuals have rights that force cannot legitimately be used collectively to destroy the person, freedom, or property of either individuals or classes. Bastiat was one of the 19th century's most eloquent defenders of liberty and dignity, and Joseph Schumpeter was clearly right to describe him as the most brilliant economic journalist who ever lived. He has heirs, but no equals. And this little article tribute written by Art Cardin for the American Institute for Economic Research, people who definitely prize free enterprise and care about markets and liberty and such things. I don't know if you've read much Bastiat, but because he died in 1850, his work is in the public domain. I'll find some of it and link to it at regular.fm/44. Great writing, and though written in the first half of the 19th century, incredibly resonant and relevant today. These never-ending cycles of bad ideas, bad policies, slowly creeping in, and over time, just their problems start to cascade. The danger is we don't all just correct our thinking, and because these things just tend to get worse and worse until the system sort of snaps. And so the book The Law is the one with which I'm most familiar. And he just has a lot of really great points that also bear on our recent trip through government monopoly compulsory education, for example. He would have a lot to say about that and about markets and the whole idea that there doesn't necessarily need to be one right way, that we need some singular expert who can solve all problems. Wendell Berry's rebuke of the last word and the big solution to the big problem, and rather layers of answers and people trying different things, and also calling to mind Ostrom's polycentric commons sort of models for dealing with common pool resources. Really fascinating stuff. Frederick Bastiat. Check him out. Thanks, y'all.